Hey everybody, welcome to the Morphin Grid. I'm Jake.
Hey, I'm Josh.
And today we're watching episode 357 of the Power Rangers program, Power Rangers Lightspeed Rescue, episode 19, The Queen Returns.
It aired on September 2nd, 2000, written by Judd Lynn and Jackie Marchand, and directed by Ryuta Tasaki.
Again, they're back. Yeah. I said the part about the program because in my head I had started saying Mighty Morphin Power Rangers and had to dive out of it. And that just left the door open for me to throw some garbage filler words in there. So that's what's up. If you're new here, welcome to the podcast. What we do is we pause the recording. We go watch an episode of Power Rangers. We come back and we talk about it. And you can follow along if you got Netflix or the DVDs. And you should, because, hey, here's a cool fact for everybody. Lightspeed Rescue rules.
It's very good.
It's only had like three episodes that I didn't like.
Yeah, I don't remember not liking any episodes as much as it was just like, no, they're pretty much an episode.
You know what? I think you're right. No, there's one that I did not like, and that's the bottom of our list. I think it's a Joel heavy episode where we were just like,
nah. Well, that tracks. But the not Joel stuff, I bet, was probably fine.
Pretty fine.
Pretty passable.
Yeah. So we are going to go watch The Queen Returns right now.
Rescue ready. And we're back, and we just watched The Return of the Queen.
And return?
In the episode The Queen Returns.
Yeah, that's my favorite Lord of the Ring.
That's the fourth one.
Yep. First, the king returns.
He failed. He did bad.
He did bad. Everyone knows how the Lord of the Rings ended. They failed. Everyone did bad. Then the queen returned, and she was like, all right, let me clean up your mess.
Let me actually run this
You idiots.
Stuff.
This dumb little hobbit man with big feet couldn't even get a ring onto a mountain. Gandalf had eagles the whole time, but didn't let him use them because Gandalf's a jerk.
You can't escalate a battle.
This is the problem with wizards.
Unless it's escalated for you.
I think eagles is not escalating. I think that's calling an Uber for your ring destruction service. Anyway, before people start tweeting me about Lord of the Rings, morphingrid.tumblr.com is our website. So it's ajakeandjosh.com/morphingrid. That's where the archives are. We're on Twitter at morphingrid. We're on email at littleaids.morphingrid@gmail.com. I did those backwards and now I'm all screwed up. We're on Snapple Podcasts, Google Play, Podknife, Podbay, Podbeans, all of them, all the pod beans, pod baked beans, pod fried beans,
pod green lima beans.
Pod lima beans. I like a pod lima bean. I'm not going to lie to you.
It's nobody's favorite, but they'll do it a pinch.
Yeah, I mean, like, get some butter, get some salt in that pod lima beans. They're pretty good. If you want to leave us a rating and review in any of those places, that would be great. It helps out a bunch. Helps people find the show. Helps people find their favorite beans. that's great for everybody. Also, we're on Patreon, patreon.com/heyjakeandjosh. For as little as $1 a month, you get some neat stuff in return, including Ted and Gene's Alien Fighters from Beverly Hills episodes and Discord, which people have been asking about. The Discord link is on there. You gotta dig, but it's on there, I promise.
gotta want it.
I'll try to find it and get a tag on it so that I can just pin it to the side so you can click on that. I've been meaning to do that for a while and haven't, obviously. also, speaking of things we've been meaning to do for a while, Turbo episodes will be in the archives as soon as we can. Definitely not this week. Because Josh is out of town.
Yep.
So that's forthcoming. I got a little bit of time because you're on vacation this week when they hear this. So we're not recording anything. So I got my nights are free for a couple days. So I'll try to get at least the ones that have fallen off. I'll try to get the episode pictures done so you can get those onto the archive.
Yeah.
Because I've said this to a couple people in emails. We started this show not knowing anything about any sort of podcasting technology and having $0.
Yeah.
So,
like, and we've been able to do it this long, only really having to pay for web hosting.
Yeah.
Which is pretty nice. But the downside of that is your episodes disappear.
Some of them disappear. And it's kind of a bummer. But
I mean, if you know the episode number that you want to hear, if you go to morphingrid.com slash No, not morphingrid.com.
No, we don't know.
Okay,
that.
Here's the hack. Here's the internet hack. heyjakeandjosh.com/morphingrid/episodes/mg, the episode number .m4a.
That will take you.
That will take you. That's the direct link to the episode.
The cheaty way to do it is you go to the archive, you click on any episode, so it comes up in, like, the player comes up in the window, like in your browser window, and then you just replace the number in the URL with whatever you want.
Yeah.
You can't download them that way, I don't think.
I don't think so.
But you can at least...
I think you need the link for that.
It's a very inelegant solution, but it's what we got.
Any port in a storm, am I right?
Hey, if you want to hear those TERP episodes, that's how to do it. So, also, if you know how to, like, get our feed sorted out in a way that will not cost us an arm and a leg or be very painful to do, that would also be very cool. So, anyway, we're gonna talk about the episode. I don't think we... Actually, you know what? All right, Josh, we got a couple new patrons. As is tradition, we have one couple of new patrons.
Great.
So, first up is Michael.
Thank you, Michael.
And Dude Master.
Dude Master. Thanks, man. Thanks, dude.
Thank you both for supporting us. Thank you, everybody, for supporting us. We really appreciate it. Helps out more than you could ever imagine.
It really does. My car would be repossessed if we didn't have Patreon. So.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to pay my rent this week. So, okay, so since we don't have a ton of emails, we have zero emails. That is
technically not a ton.
You know what? I'm not wrong. So we do have a couple of questions that I did that we got on Twitter that I wanted to ask that we tried to last time, but Twitter just refused to open for me. So first up is from Mr. Bibbs. Both of you are retail guys. What terrible retail customer cliches can be attributed to Power Rangers villains? You know Zed is the kind of guy who'll try to pay for a candy bar with a $100 bill just to screw you over.
Here's the thing. If someone's going to do that, they're not screwing me over.
No.
They're the ones who have to wait for me to get the change. I'm getting paid the same amount, yeah, no matter how long that takes.
That's a lot of the trick of if you complain in retail and you're a jerk about it, it's just going to take longer for you to get the solution that you want. Because, like, technically, I do have to help you, but there's nothing in the rules that say I can't lie. So, like, if you're a jerk, like, why don't you have any of this? I'll be like, it says we're out. It could say 500 on hand, and I'll be like, we have zero, and then I'll flash the thing real quick. They don't know where to look.
I am definitely guilty of scrolling down the store list to one that is out of stock and showing them that one.
A lot of tricks. Oh, yeah, let me go check the back for it. I'll just go out to the back and, like, wait a minute.
I've also just gone to the bathroom and then went back to the floor and said, nah, it's not back
there. Sorry, we don't have any. If you're nice, I will do a lot. I will go out of my way to help you. Like, you don't even have to be very nice. Just, like, a basic level of human decency, and you'll get what you want. So, jokes on the Power Rangers villains if they're bad retail customers. I don't think any of the villains would particularly be terrible. I feel like Rita would probably be a no price tag must be it's free.
Yeah.
And then, like, cackle at her own joke that I've heard 9 million times.
Yeah. You just punch it in for a dollar, whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Please get out of the store.
I don't get paid to deal with you. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what other retail cliche. The problem is that, like,
none of them have young children anymore now that Olympia has grown. that they can just, like, bring to the store to abandon in toys for an hour.
See, I'm over in the corner in paper, and no kids like to be over there. And when they come over and they start, like, playing with stuff, I will stare them down until they, like, get nervous and leave because I'm mean, I guess. And so I don't have a lot of kid problems over there. What I do have is teen problems when I'm not there. Like, I'll come in and someone clearly has built a fort because they saw it on YouTube. That's not as funny as you think it is. Anyway, before this becomes about retail, we got one more.
Not even Power Rangers villains sink that low.
Yeah, right. Like, they'll just try to kill me, and that's honestly better, I think. We had one other that I saw while I was scrolling. This is from Hangry Drag Queen at Sonata Waves. So do you think Rangers with glasses like Billy or Kendricks have prescription visors?
I think...
It's a lot. You would be a lot more comfortable to wearing glasses under a helmet, I assume.
We've seen Billy in the suit without his helmet with his glasses on.
Yeah.
But we've never seen him take the helmet off and have his glasses on.
Yeah,
that I'm aware
every
of.
Every time he's taking it off, I don't think he had glasses
on
under it.
Makes me wonder if the morphing grid just, like, punches their vision up.
Just, like,
levels it off.
It might do that for everybody, and that's how they can always, like, see a monster 9 million feet away.
Yeah. I mean, it also could be corrected by the visor.
Yeah. Honestly, I think there's a market there for helmet makers.
Yeah.
So, it's probably very niche. But
yeah, made to order for sure.
But, you know, people who ride motorcycles and wear glasses would probably love it. I don't have glasses. I have perfect vision. So, I mean,
don't have glasses. So.
Yeah. So I'm just a couple of perfect vision boys over here.
Welcome to our new podcast, Perfect Vision.
Perfect Vision Boys. We're just going to talk about all the things that we have seen.
It's just the podblank.com, but.
But looking at stuff.
But it's just a list. It's not even a gag.
You want to start? You want to jump in to the show?
Oh, yeah. We're done?
Yeah. That's all the questions we had, really. We start off with Jinxer watching the planets align. And I didn't notice it now, but I did notice it a little bit later. These planets are way not aligned the way they could be in any conceivable way.
It's so strange because any other work of fiction that says the planets need to align for the magic to happen.
Yeah.
Means in a line, in a straight
line.
Just a
straight line.
But this one is like, they need to make this off-centered X.
Yeah. It's like a cross, but here's the problem. It's the regular pattern of planets that you know. You got your Mars, you got a Venus, you got Jupiter and Saturn flanking Earth, you got Mars again. But yeah, Mercury.
You meant Mercury the first
time. Yeah, that's what I meant. I just got so caught up because I was trying to think of how I was going to explain that. On the side of Earth is Jupiter and Saturn, like, pretty close.
Yeah. I mean, they're all pretty close.
Yeah. It would rip us to shreds if these two giant celestial bodies just, like, came up beside us like two Mack trucks.
Yeah, it would rip us apart.
Yeah.
But look, the first season of Power Rangers thought the T-Rex stood upright, and this one thinks that the planets are really close together.
I mean, you're right. They didn't know better. Viper says that everything is ready to go for the ceremony to start getting Queen Bansheera back to Earth, and then Bumblebutt's number bummed comes in, and he's like, yeah, we gotta figure out how we're gonna get the credit for it. And then there's a Pharaoh guy whose name is Spellbinder that we do not get until much later in the episode.
Yeah.
And
yeah, that took a while.
He's just kind of waving his staff around.
Is he chanting yet?
I think he's low-key chanting.
Because he was definitely chanting, if not now, a little later.
Definitely later.
Was he saying words or gibberish or both?
It sounded like he was talking backwards.
Oh. Okay.
Or what he said was put backwards. I'm not 100% sure.
Because it was just a lot of sounds, and sometimes I thought maybe I heard a word in there. And then maybe at the end, he would say, like, an actual phrase to, like, bind the spell.
Yeah, there were definitely some phrases that weren't backwards, but I think all, like, the garbage in the middle was probably, like, him reading a grocery list and then them reversing it or something, because that's what it sounded like to me anyway. So Benjamin says, I'm going to be in charge of this whole deal. And Olympias comes up behind him and is like, no, you're not. I'm the boss. Like, I got the star power, all that. It's my mom, you know? And he's like, you're in timeout, mister.
You're grounded.
And
go to the skull chamber?
The skull cavern, maybe?
Cavern, cave?
Go to the skull dome.
The skull room.
Go to skull town.
Get your dome to the skull dome.
And it's so wild that Olympias is just like, fine.
No one brings him there. He just goes. He's like, oh, he pointed his pointy staff at me.
His little U staff at me. I think Jinxer followed him, but he just knows where the timeout room is.
Jinxer is also on Olympias' side. Like, this is Demon House divided.
Yeah.
Which is just, I don't know, it's strange.
Well, Jinxer's like definitely a butler, right? Like, he super duper looks like a butler to me. So I'm assuming he's just loyal to Bansheera and therefore her baby boy, who's now a teen.
He is certainly not a fighter.
No, he's good at throwing Yu-Gi-Oh cards, but that's it. So then Olympia swears some revenge later or whatever. I don't remember. We get back. He's like, I'll show them some way. And then we cut to the theme song. And when we come back, this is wild. Carter and Joel are driving somewhere.
This is nuts. Okay, let's set the scene. Yeah. They're in the rescue.
Paint me a picture.
The rescue Jeep.
Rover.
Rover, the rescue Rover. Carter's in the front seat.
Joel's chilling in the back seat.
He's kicking in the back seat. It's just them.
No one's in the passenger seat.
And he's not even on the diagonal. He's behind Carter. And in the middle is like a little radio, a CD radio with its own. Instead of using like the car stereo, they brought a little boombox.
Boombox. I thought Joel was in the middle.
He might have been in the middle.
And the boombox was on like the console closer to him than Carter.
But still, this is such a strange setup. Sit in the passenger seat, Joel. You weird, weird man.
The only reason I can think that this is happening is that they are on their way to pick up Rebecca Black, and they want her to have her options open.
Right. Because
they know sometimes she likes to kick it in the back seat. Sometimes she wants the front seat, but she doesn't usually know which one to take. So they're just going to give her the option. Then, Joel, they're listening to some.
It's just 90s butt rock.
It's like
post grunge.
It's definitely like Ron Wasserman's band.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think he does the music anymore.
Seeds and grow, girl.
It's Ron Waterman, Rob Waterman's band, not Fisher, Hunter. and Joel like cranks the dial and turns it to a country station and starts singing along, and it's about being at a gas station.
Yeah, he calls it like the fill-in station.
It's
the southernest thing I've ever heard.
It's number one, bad. Number two, of course Joel, the sky cowboy, likes country music.
Yeah.
That's a given. This is bad, weird country music.
It's super bad. Whoever, an intern wrote this.
Yeah, whoever wrote this did not like country. Was no. Like, I'm going to melt country music's ass. I'm going to get them.
Finally, the platform I've been waiting for.
So they eventually stop because there's a big old storm cloud that's like ominously growing very fast. Like, it's not just like a regular, it's like kind of growing. We cut from them stopping, coming to like a dead stop.
Yeah, and Joel's like, what in tarnation?
Who's red? And Carter's like, that. And then we cut to somewhere else where Chad and Kelsey are aggressive inlining.
When we cut to Chad on his ass and Kelsey yeah. helping him stand up
well,
back up.
He's, as we know, a wet cowboy. He's not an X Games cowboy like Kelsey is.
Right.
So, you know.
And then Carter is a fire cowboy.
Fire cowboy.
And Dana is a
medic cowboy.
A medicine cowgirl.
Medicine cow. Dr. Quinn medicine woman. Yeah, I like that Chad was like down. Because it didn't seem like he was like, whoa, and then fell down. It seemed like he was like getting helped up. It was like, oh, what's that?
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, just Chad fell. He's good at scuba, but not.
But of course, the one time we see him in the episode, I mean, I think we see him again at the end.
Well, I mean, he's in a couple scenes, but he doesn't like do a ton.
The one like little spotlight he gets, he's just flat on his ass.
Well, I mean, I think it's proven he's no master blader. So
you're right.
That joke was for everybody at the Texas Roller Derby the other day. We cut back to the lab. All the Rangers are getting in. I don't know if Dana was with them or if she was already there. Like, I don't know if she was like out doing something else.
When they ran in, her and Ryan came in like from a different direction.
So they were already here. Dr. Fairweather was like, there's some bad stuff happening, as you might imagine. The planets are aligning, and it's nothing like we've ever seen.
That's never good, huh?
No.
No one's ever like, well, the bad guys always
bad
are.
Guys,
but the
usually.
Good guys are never like, yes, finally, the planets are in alignment.
Thank goodness.
We've been waiting for this. It's what we needed.
Yeah, it's always like, huh, bummer. The plants are like, we got to stop something now.
What is, this is a general question. I don't know if you would know or not. What is the history
50-50 odds
of planet alignment that makes it like inherently bad?
I mean, I don't know if it's inherently bad. It's always like important. So like it's from, you know, back when we thought that the planets controlled our earthly
right. movements. All the stars are the same distance from us.
Yeah, we thought that we were in the center and everything else like spun in circles around us, which is just a wild thing to think. and then all the stars were just little dots right outside Earth. But I think at one point we were like, hey, we got a big telescope and some of the planets are lining up. That must mean something crazy is going to happen. I just imagine it's from, you know, the early days of science where we're also like, what if, I'm just spitballing here. What if I stick some needles in my eye? And everyone's like, I don't know. What about that? He's like, okay, cool. I'm going to do that. But right after that, I'm going to drain a bunch of my blood just to see what happens. What if I take all this mercury and drink it? How about I hang plutonium from my neck just to see what happens? Science was wild for a little while.
But without those people,
we wouldn't know.
We would never know what plutonium would do.
So I've probably talked about Astronautilus on here.
Probably.
He's my favorite. You have a line from a song.
Tattooed on my arm, yeah.
I have two Astronautilus tattoos. His album, This Is Our Science, which is my favorite album of all time, is about a lot of things. It's there's like a couple layers to it. One of the layers is his life as a touring musician and like just like kind of stuff that has happened to him since he's, you know, that's happened to him. The secondary line is about all the scientists that when we hit that point in like the mid 1800s, early 1900s, where like we just didn't know, I guess it was earlier than that, like 1700s, where like we're like, this is as far as science can go right now, unless we do some wild stuff.
Yeah.
That album is about that. The song Holy Water is literally about all the buck wild all the stuff we did just to figure out more science. And it's very good. I highly recommend it. And part of that probably had to do with planets aligning to bring it back to Power Rangers.
Yeah.
Ryan is like, oh, right. This is bad.
I heard them talk about that once. It's bad.
Somehow, I don't understand Ryan's time with the demons.
It makes no sense. You cannot think about it because it doesn't work.
In this episode, he says they were all captured, you know, before the start of Lost Galaxy. Or not Lost Galaxy, Lightspeed Rescue.
Yes.
So, like, where were you, Ryan?
But they took you. Were you also captured?
I'm assuming yes. How? I don't know.
It doesn't make... Even if Diabolico, after he was freed, went back in time to make the deal to save Ryan...
Where'd he put Ryan?
Ryan would not know them as captured.
No. So he's like, once planets align, Cream and Sherry will come back, all our power, Olympus, blah, 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 blah. All the stuff that we know. All the bad stuff that we know. Then we cut from there to this, they call it a temple later, so we'll just call it the temple. There is a sort of a pentagram on the ground. It's like a triangle with two arrows coming out. It's like a pentagram, but the bottom is closed off and it doesn't connect at the top, like the two hands of the stars.
It's the same symbol that's on Spellbinder's chest.
Yeah.
It's like a triangle with X.
Yeah, it's
That X is, I guess, what the planets are doing, but Jupiter and Saturn are so big on the side that it looks like nothing.
It looks like nothing, and also, they had to go so far out of their way. You don't just orbit close to us. Like, there's sort of a rule to how orbits work. Unless you're on Power Rangers, where space is literally lawless.
Yeah, nothing makes sense out there. It's crazy.
Once you walk into space, it's the Wild West. So he's doing a chant. Spellbinder's doing a chant. We see like a big stone thing on the ground that's the pattern again. And then he's got a Spencer's gift, you know, like turn the electricity on where you touch it. It goes to that point ball. You guys know the one. We cut to the lab where Captain Mustache is like, all right, everyone, rescue orders, go. Except Ryan doesn't yet because he's got more insights, I guess, to give. They split up. They do some rescues once they get out there. I forget exactly how they pair off. Joel and Chad go fight fires. Dana gets some people.
Dana clears the highway again.
Okay. Well, it's what her Zord is built to do.
Yeah.
And then Carter and Kelsey go into a burning building with the ladder fists.
Yes, again. They punch their way into a fire.
Just love that so much. Good thing nobody was, you know, in the way.
Yeah.
because they would die from being punched by a giant robot. But they're fine. Ryan sees something. He, like, sees that, like, where the... There's like fire coming down from the sky. It's like explosions raining down. And where they're landing is making a pattern. And so eventually he figures out like, oh, this is the source of it. This is like where all the points meet. I'm going to go there and check it out. And then we cut back to the Power Rangers doing, you know, more rescues. they that's just what they did. There's nothing exciting going on.
At one point, Carter carries a girl to like an actual fireman and is like, that's all of them.
Yeah. And then Captain Mustache calls him from there and is like, I can't get a hold of Ryan. No, that's a little bit later, I guess.
I think so. Yeah. I like that before they fight the monster or before they deal with like the huge demon problem, they save everybody.
It's really nice after 7 seasons of, yeah, that building blew up.
After last season when Leo was like, we'll leave the slaves in the desert.
We're just going to leave them here. And I don't think I want to come back for them, actually. Leo, you piece of garbage. But we cut back to Ryan, who...
Hey, everybody, Jake from the future. Real quick, there was an audio glitch. I'm saying that Ryan is in the temple, and he is surprised by Vipra. And then the rest you will hear. I don't know what happened.
Vipra, who's like, why don't you get a front row seat? And then starts fighting him in a very, in like a doorway.
It's very enclosed.
It's real cramped. He ends up getting kicked over a banister and landing like on his back. And then putties, or not putties, baddies grab. That'd be wild, huh? Here's some putties.
And the putties showed up.
They grab him and she's like, you're going to get a front row seat to this again. And then Carter and Kelsey get paged about it. And so Ryan's being held by baddies. You know, they got him in the regular hold of Power Ranger position.
Yeah.
His communicator morpher is like going off like, Ryan, come in, Ryan, come in.
Yeah, Kelsey's just like screaming for him over the communicator.
And Viper's like, he's a little busy, but I don't think she came over. I think she was just saying that to Ryan mostly because the Rangers didn't go, that was Vipra. Like, it's just them going, oh no, where'd he go? Because like, I can't get a hold of him. And then Carter looks outside because a second before, Spellbinder threw his staff into the middle of it. A giant gold beam came up, and Carter's like, I bet you he is there. Yeah.
Kelsey's like, oh, I can't get a hold of him. And Carter just goes, I know where he is.
And
we need to follow the beacon to our next mission.
Yep. It's dangerous to go alone. Take this. We cut back to them, where Vipra is gloating. She's like, nothing will stop the queen from coming back now. And she says, like, not even the Power Rangers, and then gets shot at by the Power Rangers. Bumbleman Snangerbanger is in the room.
We thought for a minute we heard his name in this episode.
Well, we each heard a different word.
I cannot remember what I thought I heard.
I wrote him down.
Okay, good.
I heard lo-fi.
Okay.
You heard mud pie.
Mud pie, that's it.
Which is nothing like anything I've heard him called before. So, still not what we're going to call him.
Nope.
He runs, because he's, like, in charge, but as soon as the Power Ranger shows up, he runs. Chad and Kelsey chase him down. They also have ropes. Remember when Joel and Carter had ropes?
Yeah.
Everybody's got ropes. So, they grab him, and they shoot him a little bit, and then we cut back inside to them fighting baddies, and Carter... Does Viper dip? What happened to Vipra?
That's a great question.
Because she's not there, unless Dana's fighting Vipra by herself, which honestly might be the case.
Could be. Carter, I don't really remember.
I don't know if they showed us what happened. But Carter goes to help Ryan to get the baddies off of him, and he like beats a couple up, and then one of them lets go to go fight Carter.
He fights some baddies, turns to where Ryan is, and just goes, Ryan, and one of them lets go of Ryan and charges Carter like a stupid idiot. And then so Ryan just beats up the other one.
He just tosses the other one off and like kicks him a couple times. Then Carter sees Spellbinder. We cut to some Sentai footage. Because this is the tricky part about the Titanium Ranger being only American is that if you want him there, you have to figure out ways to separate him from the footage.
Or you have to just shoot all that footage.
Yeah, or you have to do it all over. And so Carter jumps into Sentai footage to fight Spellbinder. He hits him a couple times. Ryan morphs, but fights some baddies because he's not allowed in Sentai footage. And then at some point, and this is like very clever editing, in the Sentai footage, Carter or the Red Ranger is knocked down, and they just love stepping on the Ranger's necks in this season. They do so much. He's just standing on his head. And then we cut to Ryan, who like throws his axe, and it cuts to back to Sentai footage where he just gets like blasted back, and we don't see by what really. And then Ryan helps him up, and he's like, Ryan, duck. So Ryan ducks, and then in Sentai footage, you can see the Red Ranger shoot his V-Lancer at Spellbinder. this is very good editing.
That's a lot of cuts.
It's a lot of tricky work. Yeah. So hats off to whoever edited this episode. Then he gets blasted. The Spellbinder gets blasted, so he's laying down. He's like a pharaoh sarcophagus, but a person.
Yeah. That's a pretty accurate description.
He lands on his back, and they're like, he's dead. Good. And then his eyes glow or open or something. And I thought.
Well, when he first went down, they were glowing, and they went out. And Carter was like, I did it. I got him.
Okay.
And then they turned back on, and he stood up. And Carter was like, no way.
I thought, I would have bet you dollars to donuts that this guy was going to open up and Queen Bashir was going to step out of him.
Oh, that would have been so rad.
If he would have been the vessel, that would have been boss.
Yeah.
Instead, he grow.
Yeah. He gets back to life, so they leave. The Rangers leave.
He starts, like shaking the building, so they leave because it's crumbling because of the big blast.
And then when they get outside, he grow.
Yeah, he grow. And they're like, oh, no. And then Carter says, Ryan, you need to call the Solar Zord. And Ryan's like, yeah, definitely. So Max Solar Zord, go. Rescue Zords, go. Cut to the Zord sequence. Ryan will not show up for a couple of minutes. He had to walk to his Zord, I guess.
Yeah, well, it was still charging. Solar charge takes a little extra time.
Okay, that makes sense. So we get a little Zord fight. It's, you know how Zords do. They get beat up.
Yeah.
Then they call Ryan.
When Ryan finally does show up, he like kicks Spellbinder in the chest, like drop kicks him and just bounces off. Spellbinder just bounces him off of him.
Yeah. And then he
that's, I think, the only thing you missed when you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because he like does a lap and when they, because he's back to being a spaceship when they combine them and they combine and then they fight. Before they can do anything, though, Queen Bashir's big face. You remember in the first season when Lokar just showed up? When Great Satan was just like, what up? I'm Great Satan in Jiren here.
Rar, I guess. I'm a big floating head in the sky.
I'm like,
but a projection of one.
I'm like a projection of a big floating head, but I'm icy. You know, like Satan.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Queen Bashir is the same thing, but watery.
Yeah, but wet. But here's
she's a water type.
She's a water type Great Satan. But here's the problem. Water is bad to them. So,
yeah,
because she's like, I'm gonna destroy Mariner's Bay, and they're like, don't please. And she's
maybe
like,
though, if she can control it, that's like she could keep it away from her.
Who knows?
I don't know,
but here's the thing, we don't ever get to see what happens.
No, because she calls up a superimposed tidal wave,
yep, it cuts out the background, and it's just tidal wave, and they're like, oh no, and Ryan's like, I got an idea. This has to work. And he jumps out. Oh, sorry. Real quick. Before the tidal wave, Bumblebum and Cumberbund and Vipra are like, my queen, oh my god. What do you want us to do? What's your first order? She's like, my first order is I'm going to destroy the Power Rangers in the city myself because you suck. Then she calls the tidal wave up. And it looks like it's about to destroy the city. But Ryan jumps out and...
he says, I have to, like... cut the power at the temple or something.
Yeah. So he jumps out. We cut back to the lab at some point during this, and they're just like panicking.
Just for 1 second. So they're like, a tidal wave!
Batten the hatches! Or whatever.
And one dude just like slicks down a ladder.
Yep.
Real smooth.
Nice.
Good job.
Nice job, buddy. So then Ryan goes up to the temple. There's like this orb at the base of the beam. And he smashes it with his axe, and he gets blasted 90 feet back. And lands under rubble. I guess the building collapses on top of him, but he definitely is gone. What's crazy is that Queen Bashir disappears. Tidal wave disappears immediately.
Yeah.
The building is exploding more now because the thing keeping the beam in check is gone. So, like, it's just kind of all the energy is just, like, blasting out. They go over and they look in and they don't see Ryan. And Dana's like, oh, my God, Ryan, we need to get him. And Carter's like, we're not done yet. We still have a job to finish. Like, we have to keep our heads on straight. And then they go back to fighting Spellbinder.
Yeah.
And it's, I really like it. It, at first blush, it kind of seems like not a Power Rangers move, right? Like, it's always like a save your friends. But there's really important stakes. And I like that they're like, we trust Ryan to be fine.
Here's the hierarchy. save the world, save your friends.
Yeah,
they're not abandoning Ryan, but they have an actual giant monster rampaging through the town right now. Yeah. They need to take out.
And like, you know, a couple seasons ago, it would have been like in Turbo, like, yeah, at least in Turbo before the changeover, you know, they would have been like, we have to save our friend. Even maybe after the changeover until like the end of it, you know?
Yeah.
But as of last season, Kendrick sacrificed herself to save the, like, one Power Ranger.
Yeah.
And like that kind of made the scales all weird as to like what you what you can do, like as far as what you, like what the story can allow for.
Right.
Like, it can allow now it's anything goes, where it's like, no, we need, like, screw the world, we have to save our friend, or he'll be fine, or he won't be, but the world is more important. Like, he would want this.
Yeah, I knew he didn't, but when he hit that, I was like, oh man.
What if
that,
he dead?
That killed somebody once.
Yep.
Like,
that's exactly how Kendricks died.
Yeah.
Which is, you know,
that's so weird to say, because Kendricks was a Power Ranger. Yeah. And she died on TV.
We watched her die. So then they go back. They just real quick, they just light up Spellbinder. They do the big energy blast and kill him. Cut back to the warehouse, like the temple warehouse set. and Olympias is furious at Bendelman and Vipra, and he's like, you two idiots are done for. And Bumbleman's like, no, you don't get to talk to me that way.
Go back to your skull room, and points the staff back at him.
And then Olympias just kicks him in the gut and knocks him like 20 feet away.
Yeah, he like grabs the staff and boots him off of it. It's like, you are literally nothing. You have done not a single thing this whole time.
In the beginning of the episode, he's like, I'm going to be in charge. Olympia's like, you've literally only failed. Like, that's all you've done this whole time. So, no. And then he gets into his room and he backs off. But now he's like, nah, not doing that.
He was, instead of going back to his room and thinking about what he did, he went back to his room and thought about what he can do.
What he will do. He's like, because of you, I'll never see my mother again. And then she shows up. But asterisk, it's like a face on a cocoon.
It's like a, like a ship head?
She is a little bit like a maiden head.
But it's just like in a cocoon rock.
Yeah. And she's like, yes, I don't have much of my power, but I did make it back to this plane,
right,
or whatever.
Here, you can hug my weird body.
Yeah, my mouth moves, but nothing else.
But not to the rhythm of anything.
No.
It's just sometimes it'll open.
Look, it was the year 2000. They were doing their best. I guess it was 99 when they made the Sentai footage. I couldn't tell if this was Sentai footage or not, because it went back and forth a couple times.
I have no idea. So, it's especially hard to tell in the demon dimension, because it's so dark anyway.
Yeah, it's like just dark and foggy, and like that's just what it looks like both times.
Yeah.
So unless Viper is in the shot, like, you know, it's hard to tell which.
Yeah,
is
if
which.
You get a clear shot of her face, you can tell, but
yeah,
that's it.
So then they teleport away. Now that they have, like, you know, Queen Mature is back, they just teleport away. And then Ryan, like, gets out from under some rubble. The Rangers come up afterwards, and they're like, oh, God, thank God you're okay. They hug him, and Carter, like, puts his hand on his shoulder and is like, oh, you're good. And they're, like, very close again, because they're definitely dating.
Oh, 100%.
Super-duper dating in this. Then we cut back to the lab. Ryan is basically giving them the skinny of all that stuff that he heard, like, Benchira's back, but she doesn't have power. And then it says, like, we'll never beat her. And Dr. Farrow's like, are you telling us she's indestructible? And he's like, yeah, as far as I know. And then I think it's Carter's like, well, so there's nothing we can do. And he's like, no, there is something we can do, because they were captured before.
They
were
all
in prison.
We got to get our own trap cards.
Yeah, we got to get our own trap cards, get our own Ghostbusters trap box, put them back in that. And he's like, so I'm going to leave. And they're like, what? He's like, I'm going to go, and I'm going to figure out how to imprison them again.
If you're Ryan,
uh-huh,
this is like a good plan. It makes sense. You need to go figure this out.
Yeah.
Where do you start?
Probably,
when you walk out of the base, where do you go?
I mean, probably the place that you fought the snake guy. But that did kind of collapse in, so that might be a little tricky to get in there.
I mean, I guess you could go back to the temple they were just at.
See what's left.
See if there's
start there.
Around there.
I'm sure there's like things he can do, but like,
I'm sure we're gonna see his journey. We'll probably cut back and forth to it.
Or we just might not. They might just be like, we don't know what to do with Ryan right now, so we're just going to let him go on a walkabout.
We made our own ranger. That's pretty cool, but not like
not very cost-effective. Yeah. So he's like, I'm going to go find a way to capture them. Captain Mustache says he's proud of him, and then they like hug, and then he hugs Dana, who is crying. And he walks away, and Dana, like, wipes a tear, and the episode ends.
Yeah.
So, Josh, I started.
Yeah, you did.
What's the best?
It is Power Rangers saving people.
I agree.
I'm a mega sucker for that.
I really, really like that, especially because, it, like you said, it's before they deal with the monster. Like, that... there. I know you shouldn't, like, treat the symptoms. You should treat the disease, and the disease is, like, the monsters. But... when this, like, there's explosions coming from the sky. Like, you got to save some people first.
Yeah.
So I like that they just go do that instead of, like, you know, be like, they'll be fine.
Yeah.
don't worry about them. Yeah. Angel Grove used to have a population of 50,000. Now it's, I guess, five maybe.
Seven. Bulk and Skull. Still kicking.
Well, they're on, well, Skull's there. Bulk's on Miranoi.
You're right. I forgot about Miranoi.
Hey, guys, remember how Bulk is on another planet right now?
Well,
Keep that in your hat for two seasons from now. So, what's the worst?
I don't know if this is the worst, but I do want to say it, and then maybe we can figure a worst out after.
Okay.
I think Queen Bansheera kind of sucks.
I think that might be the worst. This is a pretty good episode. Like, I liked pretty much everything that happened. And the only thing that I had a little bit of problems with was, like, Queen Bansheera just, like, all of a sudden shows up. Because it's not, like, a thing that happens.
Yeah, I think the thing I like about it, or dislike about it the least, what's making me put it as the worst, is just, like, a hologram of hers in the sky.
Yeah.
And I hate that.
Like, she's not back, but they're like, she's back, but she's just, like... not because
yeah, she's
they just,
still just projecting.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm gonna make a tidal wave, but it also you can see through.
Yeah, and like they popped a balloon and she died. Like she just goes away. She's not like manifested yet. It's just the same as when we would see her fuzzy face, but now it's, you know, in high def.
Yeah.
I guess. So I think I'm also gonna worst that just because I don't really have anything else. Except the country song, maybe.
Oh, that was bad. That country song was bad, but I did laugh at it.
Yeah.
So
I think Bansheera probably the worst then. Who's the MVP?
Ryan.
I'm also going to go with Ryan.
He popped the bubble. He was like, I'm going to go solve the problem while you guys fight it.
Yeah, I agree. I want to give it to Carter, but I don't think he did as much as I feel like
he did. Keep the team on track.
Yeah.
But he just did Red Ranger stuff.
Yeah.
Whereas Ryan did... Not that they all didn't do this, but, like, Ryan did hero stuff. He did, yeah. Like, the big hero stuff.
Yeah, he figured out, like, how to stop it.
He stopped Bansheera.
Yeah.
So
yeah, good job, Ryan.
Yeah.
And now we got to rank the episode, because we seem to forget that every couple.
I'm thinking, like, it's, like, a middling, maybe, kind of episode.
I thought it was pretty good.
It's pretty good, but it's not, like...
Let's just start at what I consider like the good line now.
Okay.
The good line is up to the challenge with Frank and Brian.
Right. I don't like this more than Frank and Brian.
Okay. Under that is the Cobra Strikes, which is Ryan versus Cobra in the temple desert thing.
I think I like this more than that.
Okay. I agree.
Okay.
Frank and Brian, all the Brian stuff was very good. The only downside of that I can really think of is the monster was really dumb.
I don't even remember the monster.
It was a big armadillo made of farts.
Yeah, he sucked.
Yeah, but everything else was real good. But yeah. This one
had sweet fights with Chad and Ryan. And Chad got to like do and say stuff.
Yeah.
It was real cool.
So what was this one called? The Queen Returns?
Yeah.
The Queen Returns. Coming in at number 8. I'm really excited that Ryan's leaving, not because I dislike Ryan, but because now there's other stories we can tell with the Rangers. We can go back to being like, hey, this is a Kelsey episode. Here's a Chad episode or a Joel episode. Or, hey, maybe a Dana episode would be cool. I don't think we've actually gotten a straight-up Dana episode yet.
The closest one we had was the tackle box fishing trip core thing.
Yeah, and that wasn't...
But that was like... That was half a Dana episode, half the rest of them.
Yeah, so I'd really like a Dana episode if we could maybe get that. Someone on Twitter told us that all the Chad episodes are just like absurd. So very much looking forward to.
Oh, he's like Zio Adam. All his episodes are just like the weirdest thing. Just
crazy and weird. So I'm pretty excited about that. That's all we got for today. Do you know what episode we're watching next?
Of course I do. It's the Omega Lightspeed.
All right. Well, we will see you next week. Because again, we're just doing a couple. I think this week and next week will be the last two one-off weeks.
It should be.
And then we should be back to normal after that.
Back to normal after that. I don't have any other weird sudden vacations coming up. So
yeah, we should be good. So next week, we will see you on Monday. But until then,
may the power protect you.
Oh, I gotta sneeze. Oh, I feel like there's a third one. This is my nightmare. All right, I'm good.
Bless you.
Thank you.